What's up, peeps? It's Corey Vincent here, and you're listening to Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? And we have a fantastic show for you lined up, because we have the real David Webb back, of course, because it's his house. And we have Aaron Carter, my man in plans. I don't know where I'm going with that one. And then joining us for a very special edition, she is typically on the Weekend Bang, but she's going to be hanging out with us on a Wednesday. Larissa is with us as well. And we have a special guest interview with Roger Craig Smith. This man is a living legend of the voice acting community. He is most recently Batman on the animated series. We have him for about 30, 40 minutes at the second half of the show. It's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait to talk to our good friend Roger Craig Smith. On top of that, we have a big September coming up, people. The first weekend of September, the 5th, is going to be our 100th episode. It's going to take place on twitch.tv/videogame_bang, the very same website you go to check out the Weekend Bang. Other than that, we cannot wait to see you at SAC Anime. It's going to be a great show, so enjoy this week's Bang.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real. You can get shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He can play it right now.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. And if you don't know, now you know. You're listening to Video Game Bang, brought to you by NerdReactor.com. What are you reacting to? And if we were rappers, he'd be the Notorious B.I.G., Aaron Carter.
What's up, everybody?
No comment?
No, I like Biggie. I got a couple of his songs.
How about my spot on impression?
That was not spot on.
Yeah, it was.
That was not spot on.
Super Nintendo.
That was spot on for
Fat Albert.
No, that wasn't even Fat Albert.
No.
Hey,
hey, hey.
That was pretty good. That
you heard him. If he was a rapper, he'd be Fat Albert. David Webb.
Wow. Hey, hey, hey.
What's going on, everybody?
And rounding out the crew, she would be Lauryn Hill.
That's not a rapper.
Yeah, she was.
No, but she was.
I have no idea about the rapping community.
Iggy Azalea.
No,
that's current.
You. That I do know about and know that's it would
not.
No.
What's wrong with Iggy?
Please don't.
She's get your mouth right up on that microphone. That's
she's
not,
Australian.
Hello.
Nothing. Not those. Don't put those on the microphone. The mouth.
I put nothing there.
What about Nicki?
Minaj?
Yeah.
No.
There you go.
Nicki Minaj either. Nicki? One, because Nicki? I don't have a butt like hers.
Well, she bought hers.
Yeah, she paid yeah. good money
I
for
mean,
that.
Yeah, I could tell. I couldn't, I mean.
There's no female rapper.
Who was, yeah, in, the I don't, who I was don't, in the Fugees, Aaron? That was Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, she rapped in there.
She was an R&B singer in there.
She rapped a little
Wyclef
bit.
Wyclef rap.
Fergie.
Oh my God,
God, this is getting worse.
You know what? Move you know, I guess R&B, I guess Alicia Keys.
Okay, that's yeah. acceptable.
There we go.
I indeed do enjoy her music, and I like her
that
style.
Is the worst way to say you enjoy. I indeed enjoy her music.
I do quite enjoy that.
She's good enough.
She pushed up her glasses as she said that.
I am, of course, your host, E. Fody.
That's highly, I would say Vanilla Ice.
No.
Everybody's got choices.
Yep. Everybody's got choices. E40 made his choice. Video Game Bang is brought to you by... Oh, we can't say that yet. We do have a big sponsor we're going to be announcing.
Disney, everybody.
No, it's not Disney. If you guys have been keeping track...
This show is not Disney appropriate.
No, this is not Disney appropriate.
Disney would language.
Disney would shut like this it. Thing down. what episode are we on, Webb?
97...
We're coming up close to episode 100, everybody.
Woo!
Episode 100 is going to be September 5th. We're going to be recording it live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang. Normally, we do the Weekend Bang, but we're going to cancel it, and we're going to do our 100 episode super show, which is going to be party style. We're going to be unveiling the brand new home studio. We're going to have everybody you love from the show, past and present. Maybe even Laura Rodriguez shows up. Yeah, man.
She's in Mexico right now.
Well, good thing the show's like in 3 weeks.
She's going to be there for 3 weeks. Mexico, you don't go there for one day.
You go to Mexico and you never come back.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, maybe. I mean, crime's gone up there.
We're going to have special guests. I already have a few signed on to show up, make little appearances via Skype. It's going to be an amazing show. You guys are not going to want to miss this one.
Yes, come watch us be idiots.
Come watch us be idiots on the fanciest home studio set you've ever seen a podcast do.
How comparable would this be for them to the Christmas episodes?
I have not decided not whether I'm going to be drinking. Since we're going to have guests, I can't have
guests
show up and I'm slobbering all over myself.
I'll drink for you.
Will you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll all pick up.
We'll pick up the slack.
We'll pick up the slack.
Because, I mean,
we're
obviously...
We're used to doing it for Aaron.
David's going to have to drink for Aaron.
Yeah,
you know, so...
I can't drink for two. I can, but we don't want another Christmas episode just yet.
Come on, no. That was probably the most entertaining... That episode was hilarious. Yeah.
We have to top it this year now.
Oh, damn.
During this Christmas,
well, I'll
maybe.
Well, be there, so we can probably...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I have notes for myself this time. I'm trying to be more organized for you, for the listener. I want to commend David Webb, Larissa, Stephen Gutierrez, and Aaron Carter specifically on the weekend show. I was out camping and moving into the new house. They held it down for the weekend bang. And from what I heard, it was absolute chaos in the beginning. It was like every natural disaster movie.
He totally over-exaggerated. It was nuts.
Go ahead. I want to hear your side.
It's serious. Don't look at me like that. It wasn't.
I'm not giving you any look. I'm tired.
You're giving her the mom look that you gave her on Saturday. Yeah.
It's the raised eyebrows.
I fathered them.
The big thing is he wasn't mad. He was just disappointed.
That's even worse.
I was like, you guys are better than this.
It was so entertaining.
It was good though.
You and Steven, I thought that maybe two of you may have entered the room, but only one was going to leave.
I guess
at one point,
a lot of the chaos came from the term "mom hips," which if you guys, I've never heard the word "mom hips." It makes sense when I think about it, but Steven was using "mom hips" to mean fat hips. And
yeah.
I have to say, I'm on Larissa's side here. Mom hips does not mean fat hips.
He goes, he says, yeah, she has mom hips. And then he whispers over to me, I just didn't want to use the word fat. And I go, oh, so you're comparing fat to mom hips? I have mom hips.
What's the difference?
Because he goes,
that I'm not fat, the bastard.
I'm just saying. So I still don't get the difference. Mom hips are just wide.
They're just wider, yeah, and they're just...
Voluptuous.
Yeah.
Fat hips are just...
Like chunky
fat,
and...
Like,
no, let's not use the word fat to describe fat.
Like, okay, so to me it would
come
be
on,
like,
Aaron.
You don't take care of yourself, fat hips. Like,
so when
stop
you're saying
eating
fat
the donuts,
is
kinda.
Just, I'm just eating. Mom hips is because I had kids.
Yes.
There you go. So, yeah,
or
you,
because
so, yeah, you
or just have hips. That don't lie.
Childbearing hips.
There was a tweet that came from Mike Villanueva from Nerd Reactor that was classic. Did you see that one, Aaron?
No, I did not.
It was a GIF. I'm going to say GIF.
Oh, wow. It was peanut butter?
So he had some peanut butter, yeah.
It was butter. A GIF of the Darkest Timeline from Community where the fire is there and Winger's trying to put it out with
the
towel.
Yeah, I remember that episode. That was an awesome episode.
Pierce is on the ground, you know, with a heart attack.
The gunshot.
Yeah, it was that GIF, and it says, so apparently when Corey's not on the show, this is how it goes. Referencing, I think, the first half
of
that
show. The first half of the show.
It was chaotic, but I wouldn't say that was the worst time. We've had worse shows before.
Oh,
definitely.
Oh, we have, yeah.
We've had way worse.
The Eddie Murphy show is still the one that haunts me.
I don't know why that haunts you. That was a good show.
I'm going to delete that one.
That was a very good
show. Before you delete, I got to go back and remind myself which one that was.
The one where we had Eddie Murphy as a guest.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm like,
No. But good job, guys. I actually did get to watch the last 15 minutes. I was thoroughly entertained on my ride home. I'm very proud of everyone. The show can run without me. It's kind of like one of those things where now I'm like useless. So I'll just try and, I don't know.
It's a group effort.
I'll just be here. Oh, I wanted to talk about this. Fallout Shelter is finally out on the Android. I'm sure you guys covered it on the show. But I'm... thoroughly invoked in this game. And not only am I just playing it all the time, now the characters are taking on lives of their own. Like Aaron Carter started, he came into my vault.
Gross.
With just the clothes. I didn't even mean it like that.
Gross.
Damn it. He came.
I did not, for the record, I did not come in his vault. Let's not get that started on the internet right now.
Hashtag came in the vault. Get it trending.
He arrived in my vault.
Hashtag I'm arriving.
Damn it, Aaron. Why'd you ruin the whole story?
You're the one that started it off like
you
that.
You mucked it up with your gutter humor.
The fans would have, they would have deciphered that anyway.
Anyways, Aaron shows up.
In his vault?
I decide Aaron's expendable, so I'll send him first into the wasteland. I don't know what's going to happen.
Wow.
I got a chain gun, a giant chain gun, and some decent armor, and I throw Aaron out, forget about him for like 8 hours. But he comes back with like 10 guns and a whole bunch of clothes. Like, you just wrecked.
What are his stats at? Are his stats high?
No, not really.
He just had good like armor. Then
he had
when
sweet
sent him
armor,
out.
And he had a
or
big
I'm just
ass.
Aaron
gun.
Carter.
Shut up.
He comes back, and that becomes his role. I start sending him out as the one, and then he comes home. He makes a baby. Goes off.
Really,
makes
he
a
makes
baby?
A baby with
what?
You too.
What?
He makes Star a baby. Sport?
You came
with
in someone's vault
with his lovely wife. He came in her vault.
Terrible.
A baby comes out. Your son, Delonte Carter.
terrible name for my son.
Hates you. I don't know why. I cannot increase the man's happiness.
Oh.
So
how do you know he hates me?
Because it's always
daddy
issues.
He just hates the living arrangements.
It's you.
Yeah, it's just because Aaron's
his
always
dad.
Gone off on some adventure in the wasteland.
Oh, is it one of those things?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little.
Abandonment issues.
Okay, I understand.
I ended up retiring you from the field. I brought you back, and you brought back a commander's uniform, which was so cool. I was like, oh, I'll put him.
That's pretty dope.
He's now Commander Carter, and he commands. I have you kind of bounce between the power area and the water, just wherever you're needed.
You switch people like that?
I do.
Well, yeah.
I don't really switch people.
Well, I have like all the stuff now to boost your stats. So you have like highest stats in the thing. You're the Commander Carter. Your son is now the one who replaced you in the field.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And you have a daughter now.
You are...
Congratulations on Aubrey Carter.
Aubrey? That's not a bad name. AC. Another AC. Okay.
David Webb, your son has a mohawk.
Nice. I like it.
And cool. Larissa works in the med lab.
Cool. So do I in my game.
You make drugs.
Yep. I make meth.
That sounds about right.
Nice.
This game has thoroughly taken over my life. I don't know. Are you guys still in it? Aaron's playing
I'm
it right
playing
now.
Right
oh,
now.
Saturday, everybody got here and everybody had their phones in their faces before we started.
We
Aaron
were all
was
on
just
it.
Playing it. I think Steven played it consistently throughout
the
show.
Yeah, he did.
The game is addicted.
It's
I mean, addictive.
Super
it's
addictive.
Just, it's ridiculous.
It is. And
waiting for Webb to get his tail back to the vault.
Oh, you sent him out?
Yeah, Webb is my go get everything guy. Him and Dante Shabazz. Yeah.
I brought back some pretty good guns last time I went out, huh?
He's got a little rifle here and a pistol. He was gone for like only like 30 minutes, though. It wasn't anything. But he brings back stuff constantly. I think his luck is high.
Is it lazy of me that I haven't renamed anybody?
Yes.
Like, yeah.
That is lazy of you.
That's the fun part of the game is to make it all your friends.
I should.
Put
right
your
now,
friends in the game, David.
Willie Lee is my runner.
See, these are random people.
He's been out there for four and a half hours.
It doesn't mean anything
Willy
when they're just
Lee.
Random names.
Right. Who's Willie Lee? Nobody.
Nobody.
Exactly. I made you, David.
Take a rad pack.
In my game, Aaron runs the kitchen.
Wow!
Whoa, racist.
Wow.
He has the best stat for that.
He has the hips for that.
kitchen bearing hips.
Kitchen bearing hips.
Is that what it is? I haven't ran into any death claws in the game though.
Me neither.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Do you have to have like a lot of vault? Well, my vaults are filled with women.
Oh, you died
for some reason. Just nothing but women populate.
Who
my
died?
Vault.
Aaron.
Oh, wow. So
you
just
how
died
you die
right
in
now?
The kitchen? What did I cut myself? I was
yep.
To
I guess
slice
we.
Some cheese.
Yeah.
Have you guys had a glitch in your game?
Nope.
Yep. I was telling Aaron before you guys got here, I had a glitch to where I had a rad roach infestation.
Mm-hmm.
All of them died except for one. I had five guys in there with armor, handguns, a cutoff shotgun, and the roach killed all of them. He took out seven of my dwellers. I only had enough to pull out.
It was
two.
Boss mode. That's what it was.
I had to quit the game and then like reboot it for the roach to finally get stepped on and die.
That's
so I lost. Awesome. I lost five dwellers because I didn't have enough.
Did you
to
try clicking
them.
On the roach?
No.
Did you try?
I hadn't.
I did. That's what worked. I shut it off and turned it back on.
You unplug it and plug it back in. Because I got attacked by rad roaches too, and for some reason one of them wouldn't die, and everybody in that room had guns.
Yeah.
And he wasn't dying, so I zoomed in and I started just clicking the roach, and then people just started like bah, bah, the whole time. So
that's the MOBA player in you. You just start clicking.
Yeah, I did. Double tap.
Aubrey Carter, everybody. I just saw my daughter for the first time.
It's your future.
And so I'm so happy. Proud father.
Wow.
So I probably wouldn't never name her Aubrey, though. That's Drake's name. That's why.
What?
Drake's real name is Aubrey.
Is it really?
Aubrey Graham.
Now you know why he goes by Drake.
That's actually why I chose that name for your daughter.
That's horrible.
I was listening to... Because
she started at the bottom, now she's at the top.
Yeah, exactly.
Bottom of the vault, and now she's what?
Started from the bottom now, Mia.
Oh, crap. A raider attack. Breaking news, everybody. There's a raider attack.
Breaking news. We're getting attacked by raiders.
We're
going
to try and steer the show away because I'm sure people are listening to the show and playing this game at the same time. Anyways,
you
know what? I do want to talk about it for a quick moment because, like, a day after it came out on Android, I read an article on Forbes. And I don't know why I always go to Forbes for video games.
I don't know why either. They're the least qualified.
But they do a lot of articles
for
video games.
They do a lot of video game articles, and I don't think they're the most... I don't think their ears are to the ground. Like, they're not boots on the floor. They're kind of, like, looking at it, I think, as fancy businessmen or something.
Fancy business.
Okay. It's investments.
Like, anytime they type an article, they're wearing a full suit.
That's ridiculous.
Three-piece
suit. And it was saying, don't bother. You can download Fallout, play it for 5 minutes, and then just delete it off your phone because it's no fun after that.
They definitely don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, no, they're freaking crazy. Like, I enjoy the crap out of this game.
He said you'll experience everything there is to experience within 5 minutes, and that the rest is just a grind and waste of your time.
Not even. Like, what are you doing when you go to the bathroom?
Going to the bathroom?
You're messing with your phone. Yeah. I mean, what are you doing when you're waiting in the doctor's office? What are you doing? Like, those are times.
The doctor.
I'm
whatever.
Reading the magazine.
You guys are focusing on the wrong part of the story here.
I'm just saying, like, what are you doing when you're doing absolutely nothing? Like, you always have your phone on you. You can't just pull it out and be like, oh, it's a casual thing I play, instead of just being like, oh, it's stupid.
Yeah, I do think, though, those guys, they're looking at it the wrong way. I think
they played it and they lost. And like, this is stupid. I hate this game.
Yeah, he named himself after the character and then a rat roach just bit his dick off in the first 3 seconds.
He became the first eunuch.
Welcome back, Mr. Webb.
Thank you. What did I bring back?
Two pistols.
Damn.
There you go. We have, if you guys are in Northern California, screw it. If you're in California in general, you're going to want to go to SAC Anime coming up here in a few weeks.
Yay.
The first weekend in September. SAC Anime is one, it's a con we've seen grow leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
Remember our first SAC Anime?
Yes, I do. It was huge then.
It was big, but then we went again and it was even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So SAC Anime is on a huge upswing. It's back for its fall version, and Video Game Bang has a panel there at Saturday, 1 o'clock. It's going to go for about an hour and a half. What are we going to do for an hour and a half?
We're going to entertain the people. That's what they want.
I can beatbox.
Really? So you're just going to give the people what they want?
Don't we always, Larissa?
I think that's arguable.
I mean, there's boundaries.
We'd win the argument, though.
I'm not nervous about an hour and a half, but I'm aware of it. I mean,
I'm not nervous, but I'm aware of it.
I can barely stand hanging out with myself for an hour and a half.
What?
Let alone with a bunch of people.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but you'll have people to talk to and be entertained by as well as entertain them.
Will I?
I love the Q&A. I love the interacting with just people. I don't know.
It is fun to riff off the crowd and kind of you just calling people out by whatever they're wearing.
Like, hey, Deadpool. Yeah, that does
yeah, and Deadpool walks up. Hey, guys, I just want to know what you thought about Destiny.
Like,
was that the peachy Deadpool?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
It was fun. It's always fun doing the panel, though.
I love doing the panels, and especially for Sac Anime on prime time, no less. It's Saturday at 1 o'clock.
I know, like midday Saturday.
We're competing with, you know, the Power Rangers.
Yeah, we are.
But it's not the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, so I think you have a chance.
There isn't a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger on the card.
Oh, there is. Bill. Oh, that's right, there is.
See? Yeah. And they're not even going to be around him. They're going to be on at our show.
Yeah.
What happened?
Who died?
Huh?
Did somebody die in your vault?
You said, uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, no.
I think she was referencing a Nelly song.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
No, everybody's like 10% happiness. They all just hate me.
Jeez. Suckers in those.
Put your character in the pajamas and just let her dance around.
I don't have any pajamas.
Oh, get the pajamas. That'll bring up morale.
How do you just get clothes?
You have to get them in a lunchbox, probably.
How much money have you guys put in the game?
None.
Zero?
$0, sir.
And this game netted, like, made $1 million within the first week it was out on iPhone?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Who's doing this? Who's buying this crap?
Steven Gutierrez.
Has he spent money?
He did. I don't know if he was joking when he said he maxed out his credit cards, but he did imply that he was spending money. And then even when you were at your place on Saturday, Sunday, he was getting ready to buy some stuff.
So we didn't move this last weekend. We're into the new house. The studio is under construction. And we decided to celebrate by playing a game, a friendly game. We were going to get out from the four walls of the house. And we're going to go play some soccer.
Recap that.
Yeah. 6 out-of-shape guys.
Say 5.5 out-of-shape guys.
I stand by my statement. 6 out-of-shape guys.
Actually, Aaron, you might be the one more fit to describe what the action was. This was my second game of soccer I've ever played. So,
Webb, do you want to say how many games of soccer you've played?
Well, I played from 6th grade to my sophomore year of high school. So
he's a veteran.
So he was a veteran.
He's a veteran.
Now, my issue was, if you guys know the show, we did a schoolyard pick'em. We were captains, me and Aaron. I had first pick. I had seen Noel kick a pretty nice goal.
And that's what he judged on.
And I judged on potential.
Little did he know that was just sheer luck that Noel had.
I figured Noel has played some soccer in his career.
Oh, he has.
I've
played with Noel's and soccer's a decade ago.
Yeah, the thing is, I didn't take into account out of shape.
Exactly. That's what you didn't take into a fat. Out of shape. Yes. Okay.
I think if we had all been the same level of athleticism, Noel would have been a logical first choice.
Still no.
No.
No. I have seen him play soccer and
at his peak.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. And there is no peak that's high enough.
I think it's a coordination issue.
We ended up getting railed pretty hard. What was the final score? 6-3
You guys scored 3. We scored 7.
7? Come on.
Yes.
6.
It was 5 in the first half, and then we scored 2 in the second.
Let's call it a baker's dozen. <We can't. laughs> Come on.
That's 13.
Oh, I mean,
that is 13.
Let's call it half a baker's dozen.
So the first half, everybody was getting their bearings. Wheezing, huffing and puffing out there.
Yeah.
And the team of me, Steven, and Eddie Villanueva score 5.
Consecutive.
And
wasn't even hard.
5 unanswered goals. And then we go to the halftime where everybody seemed to want to fall onto the ground and die.
Steven actually did fall on the ground and almost died.
Yeah, he did.
During the first half, he almost broke
his knee.
I thought he dislocated it. I honestly thought
he fell very slow, though. That's why I didn't believe it, because I was like,
he thought it was slow.
Like very slow. Yeah. And in the second half, they regrouped and they got a little strategy going.
You're just completely blowing over my.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My movie style pep talk.
Okay.
I got my guys together. It was like Coach Carter.
It was.
I got my guys together. I was like, listen, you bunch of ninnies, we're putting together a strategy.
Okay.
And then we went to score 3
You scored 3. So no, you scored
that,
2,
that
and then we scored 1, and then you scored
is what made it happen?
Yeah, that was it. That was my whole pep talk.
At the end of Coach Carter, they lost.
You guys didn't even make a plan?
No, they won.
Coach Carter? Yeah. So then it wasn't a Coach Carter speech.
The speech was Coach Carter.
No.
The effect of it was not...
That's what happened.
Hey, we got three more goals in the second half than we did in the first. Yeah. So.
That's like,
and those
saying,
were me and Corey.
I'm
so.
The least blind person in an all blind school.
Aaron,
still the least blind.
You gotta say that pass. What's that pass? I completely out of luck bended perfectly to Noel. Like, it was one of the first plays of the game.
I don't remember too many of those.
Oh my god!
I remember us scoring
yeah,
like
he
crazy.
Fell, he fell pretty hard, so he mean.
Stephen clobbered me at the end.
Well, Webb was slide tackling like it was ice out there.
That's yep. true.
Into everybody.
Webb was pretty violent.
Completely missed the ball.
That's
and got all my leg.
Yeah, put Aaron down on the ground for a good 5 minutes of just, oh, my tailbone.
Yeah.
I mean, I did injuries. Go down, too.
You went down.
Nobody gave a shit, but I did go down, too.
I'm just saying. That was all.
You know, what pissed me off is we went to the last point wins model, and I got me and Steven collide. Basically, I hit the ground due to sheer, science and
gravity.
Eddie gets the ball and he's running towards your guys' goal. I'm still up from getting clobbered and just a foot behind him before the rest of my team is even near him.
Well, that's on your team then, isn't it? Should have had a better pep talk.
Damn it.
That's what that should have been.
Well, after the break, guys, we have a special guest interview with Roger Craig Smith.
Who is
Yay.
That?
You may know him as Sonic the Hedgehog. You may know him as... He's everything. We've actually
NCO,
had him on
yes.
the show before. NCO.
Yeah, they know him as that.
And he's going to be Batman, or he is Batman.
He is.
Again.
One of the many Batman.
And we're going to be talking to him. He's going to be at SAC Anime as well. We'll talk to him about that. He's a super nice guy, and I'm really looking forward to this interview. Yeah?
Should be dope.
Should be pretty dope.
Yeah.
What else we got before the break, Aaron?
We got more... Actually, I don't think we have anything else besides that.
Is that it?
Not before the break.
It's before the break?
We have more after the break, of course.
Oh, more after.
And even after the interview.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well... We're going to get to it, so we're going to go do some business, come right back with Roger Craig Smith. Hope you guys are enjoying this week's episode of Video Game Bang.
Hey guys, you are watching Video Game Bang right now. Jay Stay Frank, Green Ranger, and it's morphin' time. Ooh-yah!
Hey, this is David Yost, the original Blue Power Ranger, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hi, this is Amber Goldfarb, the voice of Aveline de Grand Pré, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Hello, this is Cass Anvar, Altair Ibn Lahad from Assassin's Creed Revelation, and you are listening to the Video Game Bang.
Hi, it's Tina from Boss Burgers, and you're listening to Video Game Bang.
Welcome back to Video Game Bang. I am here with the man, the myth, the legend, the Batman, Roger Craig Smith. How are you doing, Roger?
Holy cow. I'm good. Maybe one of the Batmen, if you will.
You still feel uncomfortable because last time you were on our show, we did talk about the Arkham series, and at that point, I don't think you'd mentioned you were going to be doing another Batman run, and you kind of talked about. It seems like you're a little insecure being the Batman. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, it's whenever anybody kind of you're Batman. It's like, no, I'm a guy who's the voice actor who has the luckiest gig in the world, which is getting to portray the voice of Batman in a particular project. I mean, there's such a legacy that's been established by especially guys like Kevin Conroy, but there's a number of guys that do this sort of thing. So it always feels for me, it feels very disingenuous to go, yes, that's right, I am Batman. It's like, no. I'm one of the guys who's got this lucky gig where I get to portray the voice of Batman for any given particular project. And I guarantee you at the time that we were talking about Arkham Origins, my attitude was just, look, if this is a one and done, it's still incredible because holy cow, I got to be the voice of Batman. I'm never going to be complaining about that. But yeah, anytime people are like, you're Batman, I was like, no. You know, it's like, you're Captain America. No. You're Sonic the Hedgehog. No. It's like, I'll take Rip Slinger. That I own. I will take Ezio. Yes, I was Ezio. But when you're talking about things that have a history, especially Batman of 75 years and whatnot, it's like, no, I'm a portion, a very, very small part of you know, what makes that particular character. So it's not that I'm insecure. It's just that it's like, yeah, it feels disingenuous to be like, yes, I am.
Would you be okay with claiming that you're part of the big Batman team?
Yes, that I'm okay with. I like to think of it that way anyway. It's because there's, when you say being a part of the Batman team, there's so many people that are involved in making that character. And especially when you're talking about anything from, like, whether it's, you know, Batman Unlimited Monster Mayhem or Animal Instincts or all the people that are involved with the writing. Like with this particular series, we have Heath Corson. We have a director, Wes Gleason, who basically helps hone what version of Batman the creatives want to capture for this particular project. And in the case of Arkham Origins, we had Amanda Wyatt was our voice director on that project. And there's it really is a collaborative effort. It's an ensemble sort of approach to how we create these characters. And so, yeah, to be a part of that team is what I'm more comfortable with. I always say I enjoy being a part of, or at least considering myself a part of a production team when I'm doing a voiceover, because there are so many people involved with making these things happen. It's not just the guy or the gal that provides the voice, because without the writing, without the producers, you know, making all of the arrangements to have the studio ready and paying for the studio and all that stuff, and without everybody involved, nothing exists. And so that's why it's fun that I get to be a more tangible sort of representation of the character, in that you can hear, you know, elements of my voice in terms of, you know, oh, it sounds like Batman, or it sounds like, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog, or whatever it might be. That's cool. It's a recognizable element, but I'm still a part of a team.
You're kind of making me sick right now with how nice you actually are. It's kind of ridiculous.
I'm making you think about how nice I am?
Yeah, you're making me sick. Like, I feel like a terrible person now.
Oh no, it's all an act. And we hang up, I go and I beat my dog. And
that's great. What kind of things, there being so many different Batmen, as you've alluded, and then you're doing this series, what are you bringing to the table? What's your little spin on the Batman character that makes it unique?
You know, I don't know. Again, I know that goes back to, like, what I was saying earlier about the collaborative element. I don't know that there's any, like, particular spin. I think with regard to Origins, what I like about that is trying to tap into a little bit more of that sort of unfinished Batman, or a little more, a little more unhinged Bruce Wayne, in comparison to, like, some of the other iterations we've seen. But really, it's working with, you know, people to try to determine what is it that we want to do with this version. I would say that with Animal Instincts and with Monster Mayhem, this version of Batman is obviously we're playing around with the universe and having a little bit more fun with some of the interactions between all the characters, be they, you know, bad guys or allies. And obviously with this, we're skewing to a more family-friendly version of these stories, so that it can be introduced to a younger audience. It's not to say that this version of Batman is skewed only to kids, but we definitely wanted to have a Batman that could be enjoyed by an entire family sitting around and watching this, so that, you know, if mom and dad are kind of geeks and into this sort of thing, they can enjoy it along with their kids. Even if mom and dad aren't into it, they can at least know that if they're going to pop this this DVD in, or if they're going to, you know, if they're going to download and watch it, that they don't have to worry about some of the subject matter or content, because it's going to be a family-friendly version. So for that, we kind of softened up the edge of Batman a little bit. He's still Batman. Even fans of any version of Batman will recognize this as the recognizable sort of, yes, this is definitely Batman, because he's ever sort of, you know, the straight man, if you will. He's the one who doesn't necessarily cut up and make a lot of snide remarks. But we have even a little bit more fun with that than we did in comparison to, say, Arkham Origins. I think one of the more sort of moments of levity with Arkham Origins was a line where, you know, Batman said, like, "I don't patter." And with, and I thought that was just one of the funniest parts of that entire script, basically. Whereas with this one, we have some moments where, you know, Batman seems a little put upon by Robin goofing around, or you know, just some of the banter back and forth between all of his allies. So it's fun to kind of have that version of Batman. Will Friedle, who has played and portrayed Batman vocally as well, he mentioned something at one of our appearances at Comic-Con that I think it was Bruce Timm had said to him at some point that there should be a Batman for everyone. And that's what I like about this version of Batman, is I think this version of Batman is something that, like I said, the whole family can sit down and enjoy. And that's it makes me proud to be a part of things that are sort of family-oriented, because it just feels like it's a little bit more accessible, and it's something you might not look back on in 20 years if you've got children of your own or whatnot, and kind of cringe about some of the things you've done, which you know, definitely some of the video games I've been a part of in that sort of thing in the past, there are moments where I just think, ooh, I said some pretty nasty things in that.
So I never really thought about it, like, because you have your name credited to some huge projects, and it seems like more and more recently they are more youth oriented. Like, you did a huge stint on The Regular Show, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. You, of course, are Sonic the Hedgehog, you're Hulk, Agents of Smash, and then now this version of Batman. But are you preferring to go that route, or is that just how the jobs are lining up? Like, are you okay being Kyle Crane more and throwing the F-bombs, or are you trying to clean it up, I guess, and stay with more youthful things?
You know what, it's always the kind of thing where I don't necessarily want to make some sort of like a judgment call on that. I mean, there have been projects where I've said I'm not comfortable with this. I've had moments with some anime shows back in the day that, you know, when I was first starting out, you'd be a part of something, you all of a sudden you'd get into a certain line or a certain, you know, portion of the script, and be like, I didn't know that we were going there with this show. I can't do this. You know, but rarely do I find I look at it like this. If even the dialogue, if the subject matter is sort of difficult, if it's furthering the story and if I think it's relevant to the story, then far be it from me to sit there and pass judgment on a situation where, look, someone is hiring me to provide a service. And if I think that this is where that blurred line between art versus commerce kind of comes in, but I want to be a part of projects that I think are good. And so, you know, if there's some pretty harsh subject matter, as long as I know that this is a game that's going to be, you know, released to adults and it's for adults, then yeah, if it's furthering a story and if it's got relevance to the narrative, then so be it. But if it's just gratuitous, or if it's, you know, frivolous, or if it really is just kind of poorly executed, there have been times that I would turn something down. That being said, I'm getting a little bit older, and so there's a part of me that is trying to be aware of things like, you know, look, I have had a wonderful career, you know, far beyond my wildest dreams of getting to be a part of projects. And so the notion of, okay, well, what kind of projects do I want to be associated with going forward? Yeah, it does begin to weigh in. There have definitely been some video game scripts that have come through that I've looked at, and I've just thought, I've seen this version of stuff before, and I don't feel a desire or a need to be a part of that type of a game or that content. And unless there's something about the character or something that's a little more original or interesting that kind of intrigues me, yeah, we've passed on some things. Or just, I shouldn't say passed, because that makes it sound like it was offered to me. I'm just saying I wouldn't bother submitting on the project. And that's just purely a judgment call that we get to make. And it always kind of flies in the face of an actor who wants to work. But to turn down something or to walk away from something is always kind of a hard, you know, hard thing. But I think at some point I want to be able to look back and go, yeah, I learned a lot. And participated in a lot of projects, and I can be proud of certain things, because every now and then there's something that you do that you just go, ooh, I didn't realize it was going to turn out like that, or, you know, ooh, that's one of those things you go, huh, interesting. Thankfully, nothing that I feel like was was detrimental to society or anything like that, but it definitely does begin to kind of weigh on you. And if I had my druthers, it would be all accessible, because I think most of those projects are the ones that also stand the test of time and have the most longevity, you know. And shock value in our society and culture just kind of is just that. It's very, very brief. You know, you can go back to guys like Andrew Dice Clay when I was a little kid and hearing, like, you know, he was doing foul-mouthed nursery rhymes, and it was so shocking. And you hear that stuff today, and you're like, God, that was really silly. You know, it's like, that was kind of silly, but it's funny because it was short-lived and shocking at the time, but you can't keep doing that. So it's like, you know, meanwhile, we're still watching Bambi. We're still watching, you know, early Batman animated stuff. We're still watching, you know, Warner Brothers cartoons. We're still watching all these things that have been around that are family friendly, because it's good. It's well written, and it's accessible, and it's easy to enjoy, because you don't have to, you know, feel like you need to take a shower after experiencing it.
So we're not going to see you on the Game of Thrones anytime soon.
If the money's right, maybe no. Are you kidding me? I would be on Game of Thrones in a heartbeat. But I don't think Game of Thrones wants to harm their image by having me on there. What that is.
You are going to be at SAC Anime here. It's September 5th, the weekend of September 5th. You're going to be coming back to Sacramento. Last time you were here, it was with the Assassin's Creed cast. Are you looking forward to coming back here? What kind of panels can we expect to see you in?
You know, I don't really know. It's usually up to Dan, who's sort of the organizer of that entire event, as to how he wants to kind of insert me into the show. I don't know what. Sometimes all of a sudden I find out he's got something up his sleeve in terms of, you know, he had an idea or a theme that he wanted to kind of, you know, create with a group of actors. And I've been so out of it this whole summer. I've been doing a ton of traveling, and it's like, I just all of a sudden realized, I'm like, shoot, I'm coming up. We're getting close to just a couple weeks away from me being up in Sacramento. So I don't really know. I don't know that there's a thematic element to it this year or not. I'm literally saying I don't know. But I always love going to Sacramento. In fact, I was even thinking for a while there about trying to buy a home in a suburb of Sacramento, and maybe have that be like, you know, the where I live, and I fly down to LA for work if I could pull that off, that kind of thing.
Everybody kind of one of those weirdos in this room very happy, because that's where this podcast is based, and we cannot stand it when people who live in the city talk down on the city when it's a great place. Like, it's a growing place, and events like SAC Anime and Wizard World Sacramento are awesome.
I don't see, you know, it's funny that, I mean, I talk a lot of smack on LA just because I've grown up in Southern California my whole life, but and, you know, and LA is just kind of one of those strange cities where it's like, on the outside, everybody thinks it's, you know, this wonderful, wonderful thing, and then they get here and like, oh. But no, I've always thought Sacramento has a really cool sort of a downtown, and I thought that, you know, it sort of reminds me of a little bit of a smaller town kind of a vibe, in terms of the folks that you meet there. They tend to be a little bit friendlier than folks you'll meet in Southern California in general, but with also this very interesting element to, you know, this, you've got the big city, but you've also got a lot of neat little suburbs and whatnot, and the fans there have always just been super enthusiastic about, you know, about that convention. So I'm a big fan of, like, Northern California in general. I had, you know, my mom's family sort of grew up in Northern California in Vallejo many, many years ago. So we spent a lot of time. I've got some really good friends in San Francisco and in Redwood City and in San Jose, and my brother used to live in San Jose. So, yeah, Northern California kind of resonates with me in a lot of ways. I've always had a very good time at SAC Anime, so I'm looking forward to it.
That's awesome. We're looking forward to seeing you there. Now, here's the fun part. We're going to start asking you some of the nitty-gritty questions. So, your top three favorite Batman.
My top three favorite Batman? Like Batman?
Yes. Actors or voice actors who've portrayed the character. You can go ahead and say Michael Keaton and George Clooney. It's fine.
No, I've actually never seen the George Clooney version. I hate to admit that I've never seen that one, and maybe that's sort of like, you know, for a good reason.
I think it's a blessing. I've never heard, but
yeah, there you go. It's like maybe it hasn't tainted my idea of the character. Let's go top three. Let's go. Oh, man, that's tough. How about Kevin Conroy, number three, Adam West, number two, and I'll go with, oh, no, you know what? So reverse that order. Let's go Kevin Conroy.
Okay.
And I prefer it not to be a top three, as in this is the order in which these names are, because as far as I'm concerned, all these guys are the iconic sort of representation of the character.
Okay.
And it's not in any particular order because they're all in different mediums. But I would go, I'm not even going to say number three, number two, number one.
We'll come on. Don't cop out on us.
We'll go Adam West, Christian Bale, and Kevin Conroy.
All right.
You can place those in any order in which you feel is fit. But I've always been a huge fan of all three of those guys. And we'll throw in a Michael Keaton as an honorary mention in there. And again, we won't say in which order.
Oh man, you're just too nice.
I know, right?
You're so nice. Okay, I'm
not
surprised
you're playing your little game, dude. I'm not playing your game.
So, you're not a part of our system.
I know how the internet goes. I'll always like, oh, so Roger Craig Smith thinks that so and so isn't as good as blah blah blah.
Smart man.
There you go.
Oh man, come on! You gotta give me a little more credit. I'm not just a standard media hound. This is fun for us. We all have our favorites. Now, I'm surprised you didn't list Donald Trump in there. What's going on with that?
Donald Trump is Batman?
That's what he says.
He said he's Batman.
There was, I don't know. I think it was something that got blown out of proportion. Essentially, the situation that happened was he was campaigning. He is running for president, apparently. And a kid asked him if he was Batman. And he said in his best Christian Bale Batman voice that he is Batman. Kevin Conroy then goes on Twitter and just kind of blasts the man, says, "You are not Batman. You have terrible hair and you will never be Batman."
Oh, good God.
You didn't hear about all this? Well, you're one of the Batman.
No,
you didn't get
no,
caught up in this?
At the end of the day, really? Really? Do we all have bigger fish to fry than what Donald Trump says about Batman and whatnot? It's like, it'll go away. I think he's doing what all these politicians have to do. If he doesn't say anything, if he doesn't come up with something funny, if he doesn't know what he's going to do, then it's like, you know, everybody gives him a hard time. If he said, like, "I don't know who Batman is," you know, everybody would be thinking, oh, then he'd get skewered for that. And I can't even weigh in on that stuff. That again, It's the social media element that I try to play it as safe as possible. So, you know. But no, Donald Trump is not Batman.
Going back, that was a pretty darn good Donald Trump impression you slipped in there.
He's a blowhard. I think he is. He provides us with much amusement, does he not?
Yeah, he does. So you are not going to be voice acting Donald Trump Origins then?
No, I think that's, again, like I was saying earlier, there's certain things that I want to do that I want to look back on and be proud of.
Well played.
So that would not be one of them.
Well played. So I caught you for a quick second. I probably jumped you at E3 for a quick minute during the hall. What did you think of E3? I didn't get your full recap. We're removed from it. How was your experience?
My experience at E3?
Yeah.
You know, it was cool. It's always way too short. I think I had like basically one afternoon to get down there and hang out for just a little bit. But it's always kind of how it goes. I mean, it's tough. I mean, I have to take time off of work and take myself out of earning in order to do anything sort of during the week. But it's fascinating. I mean, like I keep saying, like it's such an incredibly fascinating time to be alive because we've got such unbelievable technology at our fingertips right now, and it's sort of pushing so many things in so many different directions. And it's both good and bad. I mean, the internet is both it's kind of a double-edged sword. There's a lot of really good things that the internet can be responsible for, and there's a lot of really bad stuff, kind of like, you know, the trolls and the haters on social media that sort of wield a certain degree of influence and power that is sort of unjustified. But in seeing what the world of multimedia and interactive entertainment is doing, it's really kind of hard to think, where are we going to be in 10 years? because there's just so much stuff that you know, that 20 years ago I would have said never could have even existed. I mean, you know, everything from touch screens and flat screen TVs and the iPhone, and you know, it's amazing where we're at, and I think it's pushing quality. I think we're seeing, even just in writing on television, there are so many networks now, and because there are so many different mediums in which we get our entertainment, whatever we're going to try to consume had better be good. And you're seeing it when there's backlash. If a product, you know, is subpar, the fans can sound off, and people can basically say, like, this is not acceptable, this is inadequate, and the company has to respond if they want to remain relevant and thrive. And that's a good thing in some ways. You know, it's a shame when certain things get leaked out early or certain things get rushed to market, and the negativity that is spewed out there and things is, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of thing. There's a rush to all sorts of things in terms of the way we get our news now. It's usually not vetted out very well. It's very quick. But no, all you got to do is go to E3 and look at the hype that these companies are putting into all of these new products, and it's, you just get caught up in that excitement because there's some amazing stuff that's on the horizon, and it's like you just feel like, man, we're still kind of just scraping away at the tip of the iceberg here. Where in 10 years, I think interactive entertainment is going to be in a completely different place, and where that is, I don't know, but it certainly is exciting to kind of, like, you know, think about the fact that we could be having holograms in the middle of our homes, that we're looking at a completely different experience in terms of how we game or how we interact, or, you know, so it's crazy. I had a really good time. I'm always just sort of like blown away. You go to E3 and then Comic-Con, and you just see the content that's coming our way, that, you know, that they're already working on things that are, you know, 10 years out. And just think, man, it's crazy to think where we're going to be.
When you're at E3, see, I go through as a media, so I'm going through, getting shown some cool things, meeting people. It's kind of like a networking deal. You, as a big popular voice actor, when you're there, I saw you, like, had a guy. Like, are you there and enjoying? Or are you there for work? Or are you there to get pitched on things? Or what is E3 like for a voice actor?
You know what? I guess it just depends on the individual. I actually wasn't there with any particular, like, handler or anything like that. I had set up a meeting. I wanted to meet with some of the folks that work for Sega of America, and it's rare that we get a chance to sometimes all get in the same room. So I had set up a couple different meetings, and yeah, it's arguably a great time to do some networking and to see some of the people that you worked with, on projects in the past and whatnot. I'm not like a schmoozer, and I'm not like a, you know, hey, let me have a business meeting with you and take you out for lunch and tell you what I want to do for your project. You know, it's like, and maybe that's to my own detriment, but I tend to stick with just, like, you know, I've got an agency that represents me, and they will submit me on auditions, and I will submit my best work, you know, to the best of my ability, and hope that I land a call back in the role. And so, if I go to these sort of things, it's usually just to kind of go see what's what, you know, try to look at it from I want to be at least aware of certain things that are coming out, and be aware of the things and the changes that are coming in my industry. I wasn't there for any particular company. I wasn't there for, you know, representing any particular project. And in the past, I've gone in to do stuff like that. This time it was literally just to kind of go and attend. Comic-Con, usually I don't tend to go down to that unless there's business for me to do. And when I say business, it's not that you're getting paid, but you go down to promote a project, you know, that you've been a part of, and you go down to participate and help promote things to be that, you know, quote unquote team player, to be like, hey, this is a new cartoon we've got, this is a new video game, this is a new product. And with E3, it's not necessarily like that because it's more industry focused, but like I said, you might have seen me there walking around with my buddy Mitchell Whitfield at one point, because he was down there doing some work, but it just depends. You know, like, I ran into Tiffany Smith and Blair Herder, who were hosting the Xbox live stage, and it's like, I remember them from, gosh, Schmoes No Podcast and DC All Access and all that. And it's like, it's cool just to kind of go down there. They're like, oh, no, I'm going to care. There's some old friends that are doing some really good stuff. That's cool.
That's cool. Now, I always got to talk to you. When I get you on the phone, we got to talk about regular show. The regular show movie's coming around. Are you going to be a part of that?
I actually am a part of the regular show, the movie, and it's killing me because I'm down in the L.A. area, but I have not had the chance to get down, and I think tomorrow night's like the last night that it's in the – it was in one theater down here in L.A., and then I think – I don't know when they're releasing it exactly, but it was – but they actually had it in a theater down here in L.A., and it was playing, and I cannot get down to it. It premiered – I missed the premiere of the film to celebrate my birthday with my family down at Disneyland last week, and then I've been sort of like entertaining family from out of town and been out of touch with so many things, and I was sick earlier this week, and so I've just had no chance to get down there. Now I'm like swamped with work trying to make up from having to take 2 days off and being sick. So,
was the process of the movie different from the process they do for the shows? Did they do things differently for the movie?
Not necessarily. I mean, like, other than the fact that it's just, you know, that there's a lot more to do, there's a lot more to record. But no, for the most part, it's fascinating to watch JG work because the guy is so sharp and he couldn't be a nicer guy. And to see him kind of grow and learn in this process and make this thing happen, it is so fascinating. It's almost like you just are so proud to kind of see this really nice guy like have success in life and tremendous success with this show because he couldn't be a nicer dude, and to have him take this and turn it into a long form movie like that is such a huge endeavor, and it's a massive accomplishment for an animated film. I think I go in just kind of having the same approach. I work with the director, Chris Zimmerman, directs us very often, but JG's also heavily involved in a lot of the directing. And I just go in and go like, all right, what do you want? You know, what do you want me to do? Who's this guy? And, you know, it's like, how do we create this character? And just kind of just go along for the ride. You know, it's such a fortunate thing to get to work with some of the most creative and friendly people that you could ever hope to meet, and that's kind of like my day in and day out life, which is, it's kind of a trip.
Just
keep going like, man, I can't believe I get to go do this. Can't believe I get to call this work, to go in and literally one of the biggest joys in my life at this stage of my life is my job. It's just like, it's because of guys like JG Quintel and Chris Zimmerman and the castmates that I get to work with on all these different shows. It's like working with Wes Gleason and Heath Corson. These are all super nice people that are unbelievably talented, and they're very, very passionate about what they get to do. And in terms of like if it's an hour-long movie, like with regular show, the movie, versus an 11-minute episode of regular show, it's kind of the same thing. It's just all storytelling. It's all character-driven, and it's a blast to get to say the words of these talented writers. So no, same approach as ever, just trying to figure out what the heck is going on in the regular show script. some of the stories are so crazy. And it's like, it's fun to kind of go in and go like, what is this? What are we doing? Okay. Oh, I get it. Okay, cool. How weird.
Yeah, I got to do a panel interview. I mean, a roundtable with JG and Sam, and it made the whole San Diego. I got to meet a lot of cool people, but of everybody I met, like, I was most starstruck to meet and talk to JG just because creatively he's a mastermind.
Yeah, it's almost diabolical. It's like diabolically nice. And by the way, you couldn't meet a more unassuming or talented guy than Sam Wren. The guy is so good at what he does that I've watched other, quote-unquote professional voice actors, get in there with Sam, and we all just kind of marvel at how quickly he snaps in and out of all of those characters. And we just bust up because the guy, and yet he's the nicest, most just mild-mannered kind of calm. I mean, I'm half expecting that he's like the real-life Clark Kent. Yeah. Like at some point, he actually is Superman because he's too nice of a guy. He's trying to throw us off. And he's either like a vigilante crime fighter or he's some horrible, some horrible villain, as soon as he leaves the building. But Getting to go to work with those guys. Oh, and getting to work with Mark Hamill.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Really? Yeah, that guy. I've heard of him. Yeah. So it's a blast. So, you know, when people are like, you know, do you take a different approach or, you know, which do you prefer? It's like, I don't care, man. If I get to go to work and call those guys my coworker for, you know, for an hour or 4 hours, it doesn't matter to me. It's a good day.
Well, I don't want to take up too much more of his time. That is Roger Craig Smith, and if you want to see his most latest Batman film, it is Batman Unlimited Monster Mayhem. And then if you are in the Northern California, Sacramento area, and you're going to be at SAG Anime, you have to go see this man's panels, whatever he's doing. The autograph signings, I found that intriguing too. Is that new for SAG Anime, doing the free autograph signings?
Yeah, no, I don't. I prefer. I've only done it like maybe once or twice where I've gone to a convention where I charge. My preference is to not ever charge for autographs. It usually boils down to an arrangement that you have with the convention organizers, and it's you know, I look at it like it's a business where, you know, look, if I'm a draw for your convention and you want to pay me to appear at your convention, and as such, I do a certain amount of, you know, work for you during the day, but it's like I don't like handling people's money. I don't like, you know, taking money away from people when, you know, it's to me, and this is just me. It's not a judgment call on even, like, you know, other actors that I work with and friends of mine that charge. It's just a personal preference for me that I tend to always just look at it like, look, if the convention takes care of me, then whatever they want to work out in terms of like a minimum or a maximum, I should say not a minimum, but a maximum number of items that can be signed. And after that, there has to be a charge and that kind of thing. That I understand. But no, if it's up to me, I tend to just sign for free. That's what I prefer.
You are a man of the people. Go see Roger Craig Smith at SAG Anime. Get your autograph for free. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man.
All right, that was Roger Craig Smith. Aaron Carter, he's like a man after your own heart. The whole we've talked about autograph signings.
Yes, and I'm right in the same boat as he is. For free, you know, you're coming to see and get some quick quality time with a person that you, I don't know, what do you call that wall between the fan and the actor?
The fourth wall?
We'll go with that one, I guess.
Yeah. Let's call it the fourth wall. Larissa, that's the first time you've ever been on the podcast doing an interview.
Yeah.
How was it?
I really enjoyed it, and it's nice to hear from somebody. I mean, if that guy's really that nice, I swear to God, I would vote for him to be president.
He just jumped up to like my list of like favorite celebrities.
I want
to
say
he's,
like
100
points.
Cool guy. 100 points to Gryffindor.
100 points.
I think a lot of the times when we get to do these interviews, you can tell pretty quickly in like which ones are legitimately being like honest and genuine.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of those ones.
Totally.
And it seems like I didn't get this from the first interview, knowing how being able to see how what is that called?
The fourth wall.
No, not the fourth wall, Aaron. The what's it called? Not when you're like extreme, but when you're reserved.
Calm?
No.
Cool, collected?
No.
Introverted?
No.
What the hell's the word?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I want to say, like,
I mean, that's what I picked up.
Not humble, but, like, when you're not, like, filthy, you're...
Clean?
No, he's just... Good Lord. He seems very accepting and appreciative of most things. Like, he, of course, has his boundaries on things he won't do, but I feel like... If it's a show or something that means something and has substance, then he's totally like down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not get that from him the first time, and that's kind of refreshing to see. And you could tell he's been burnt a few times by media. Because like in the interview he was terrified. I wasn't thinking headline, you know, he thinks this Batman sucks or something like that. But he kind of like when he said, "I'm not going to play your game." I mean, I think he was joking, but I think he was a little serious too.
I think so too.
Because that's true. A lot of the people on certain websites, that's what they want. They want that one big headline. They post it,
yeah,
and then they you know,
clickbait.
Clickbait.
Yeah, but you we're not them. The typical media, obviously. If we were, we would be going out of our way to do some crazy, shocking stuff, and then we'd have probably millions upon millions of more viewers.
Are you sure you watch your Christmas party?
We have right now. No, there's a difference. No, that was all for real.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Is there video game TMZ out there?
We should start one.
Mm. Well, didn't we just say we're not all that, and then
yeah, fuck it.
It's a different.
Let's make money.
It's a different division.
We'll put a different spin on it. All right. We'll make everything like it'll be like the real David Webb kind of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Patent pending in 2015.
What? You lost me on that one.
You lost me all on that one too.
Because he is the real David Webb. His name is David Webb.
And there's no other David Webb.
There might be a lot of David Webbs. Yeah, I'm sure.
There's a lot of David Webbs. That's why mine is the real David Webb. Because David Webb was taken. All started when I was trying to get Gmail.
Okay.
Wow. There you go. That's the origin stories of David Webb.
Most boring comic ever.
Yeah, it's not two pages long.
But seriously, though, he was Roger Craig Smith. He was like such a humble guy. I mean, he was so like Larissa said, just appreciative of everything that he's been able to do. It was really cool.
Yep, and I wanted to talk about this. Larissa, apparently you saw the Attack on Titan movie.
Oh, God.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Review?
So, it was gory. I mean, the CGI wasn't bad. Obviously, it's a B movie. The actors were... It's weird when you see real-life people try to almost act as they are in the anime because it doesn't fit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Depends on which one you watch.
So comparatively to the Attack on Titan anime, okay. it doesn't fit. It makes the character seem forced. Like when they were trying to give you the view that they are the anime character itself, it was like it seemed really forced. Therefore, their acting suffered because of it, and their interaction was between each other has a lot of awkward pausing. In the anime, the awkward pausing is okay because the facial expressions are very
animated
out there. You know, right. And then so when you see it in this live action, it's like it's just really awkwardly quiet. And the story is really different. I don't want to ruin anything for anybody, but they really changed the story in places where it was just like, was that necessary? And I know they're trying to pack. They're trying to pack a lot of episodes into like an hour and 40 minutes, which I can understand. But they didn't have to shift it into that direction.
Were you a fan of the series, Aaron?
I was a fan of the first couple of episodes, and then I kind of just fell off.
Are you going to watch this movie?
No.
I hear there's a sex scene in it.
Don't care. No, I'm kind of over the predictable...
Yeah, but Aaron, you know what happens in sex, right?
Kind of over the predictable Aaron, Titan stuff.
Aaron, when a man...
I don't care, of course.
And a woman.
That's sad.
Mental high five.
That's sad that you guys all know that one.
What?
I'm all over stories that are very predictable now.
You know what I'm over is sex scenes that don't show boobs.
What is this world coming to?
My
film teacher, he hated sex scenes in movies.
Why?
Because they serve no purpose.
Sure they do.
Yeah, and fan service. That's boom. The purpose that it has.
It doesn't move the story along whatsoever. Mm. It's just literally in there.
It moves something along.
Bam!
Then why don't you just watch porn?
Well, we do
because
that
story. The story in itself.
You do that too, but...
Yeah, so he...
It's not like you can only watch one or the other.
He was like, every time we watched a movie and they had a sex scene, he'd be like, this is... Okay, you just stop the story for me just so you can see 3 seconds of, you know, nothing.
I'm trying to think of a movie where a sex scene really did do...
Yeah, you gotta...
The Fifth Element.
There you go. Bam.
What sex
Bam.
Scene in there?
At the end.
Mm-hmm.
There was no story then. There's nothing left.
Yeah, it made everything come to a close. Like, it all came full circle. She was interested in humanity, and it was...
You find that out when he kisses her, and she blasts the damn rock out of the sky.
Yeah, but at the end of the movie, it's like everything just was wrapped up in a neat little bow. And it made it, like, the icing on the cake.
Stretch.
Like, she has found true humanity and love and passion and...
Yeah, she found that when he kissed her.
Everything that people really crave. How would you? Why?
Except Aaron, apparently. Yeah, he doesn't care.
I'm sorry. Look, after
he came into one vault and all of a sudden he's done.
After one of those, after that class, I'm telling you,
that's a callback,
I just look at stories. You look at stories differently.
All right, everyone. We look at stories differently. We'll see you this weekend for the Weekend Bang. Have a good week.
Let me bang,
I
man.
Do let you bang. Hey.
Let me bang again, man.
I let you bang.
What are we doing?
I let you bang.
Let me bang again.
Let me bang.
Let me bang.
Now go fuck yourselves.